All right, what's up, everybody? Thanks for checking in here with us for the week two edition of the Say What You Like NFL Weekly Podcast. And the opening week gave us a lot to talk about. So I brought in Tyrone Scott over from Anchor to help me out here and talk some football with you guys out there. So what's good, T-Scott?
What's happening? It's your boy T-Scott, man. Checking in with my man Phil from Say What You Like. You know, Phil always bringing you the hottest NFL topics in general. So, man, I'm glad to be on the show to chop it up and talk about football, most definitely.
Yeah, anytime, man. You are always welcome guest, man. I know you know your stuff when it comes to the NFL, and we had a big week. But specifically why I asked you to come on with me and jump on here was because probably, I'm not even going to call it the biggest shock, but one of the biggest shocks of the week was your boys. The Jacksonville Jaguars defeated the Houston Texans 29-7. I got to get your reaction on that one. What'd you think about your Jags?
Shout out to the Jags fans. Shout out to the Jacksonville Jaguars organization, man. Look, we won last week. I was extremely excited. Being a Jags fan, you know, we don't win a lot once. And not knowing what to expect this year, as almost every year, you know, the quarterback situation, you know, we drafted Fournette, which is a pretty solid pick coming out of LSU. Our defense has always been pretty solid. You know, a couple years ago, our wide receivers with Allen Robinson and Hearns were both Pro Bowl players, but last year we took a step back with Bortles. Again, we were 3-18, and to come and win game week one, 29-7, man, was huge for us. You know, again, we won three games last year, so we're already, you know, halfway of what we did the year before. So, you know, I can't be anything but excited. You know, we look pretty good. Our defense looked good. We had 10 sacks and four turnovers. Yeah, four turnovers. We even ran one back in for a touchdown. Fournette was pretty solid. You know, he had 26 carries, 100 yards, one touchdown. Got his first, you know, NFL touchdown. You know, we kept Bortles under wraps. He wasn't too wild. He was 11 for 21 for a 125 in yardage, and he threw one touchdown. So, man, we looked pretty good, man. And we did it against a division rival, too. Now, granted, Houston, you know, their quarterback situation is a little bit shaky, and everybody kind of knew that coming in. They drafted Deshaun, and which I think he's going to be really good moving forward. But, you know, Houston's defense has been really good. You know, all I was hearing, you know, Houston, you know, they're ready. They just got to, you know, figure some things out offensively. And the tragedy that just most recently happened down in Houston a couple weeks back, you know, you would think the city, the organization, the team, you know, like, man, to be honest, I thought we was going to lose, you know what I mean? So to come out with a big win in Houston, man, game week one, it was great, man. It was great, you know. So we just got – and a division rival, too. So, granted, you know, we only won three games last year. So, hopefully we can keep this thing going.
For sure. Yeah. I don't see why not, because I always thought you guys had a good D. Honestly, going into the season, I wanted to pick them to really possibly win that division. And this is before week one. The only thing that held me back was your boy Bortles, because to me – Bortles, I don't know. I just don't think he has it to get you guys in the playoffs. But what has surprised me is when I was watching some of the plays on the highlights, I seen that they kept the ball, you know, out of his hands. All the big plays were made on defense. And basically on offense, they just ran the rock down their throats with Leonard Fournette. He had 100 yards and a TD, like you said. And so I think if you keep the ball out of his hands and that defense continues to play lights out like it's playing, I mean, you got Tennessee up next. You string these two wins right off the bat. You're 2-0, not just 2-0. You're 2-0 in the division. And I think if you guys pull that off, exactly, you pull that off, I think you guys are the legitimate favorites going forward for the South. For sure.
Right. And again, so we don't know what Luck and, you know, and the Colts are going to do. Again, they don't have a quarterback. I mean, they have a quarterback, but, you know, if we were to recap their game, like, it was bad. It was bad. But, you know, when Houston trying to figure out what they're going to do, they got a rookie. And then we got Tennessee, you know. Now, granted, now, Tennessee, and again, I'm a Jags fan, so we were up on Tennessee last year, 32-28, man. And Marcus Mariota broke 87 yards for a touchdown in the fourth quarter, too, to beat us. So,
I remember that.
You know, a lot of the team, the organization, some of those players, they remember that, man. And if we can contain Mariota and we play well, I think we will win. You know, as long as we don't have any crazy 87-yard quarterback runs on us like Vic used to do back in the day or something, I think we look pretty favorable in this game, man.
Yeah. As long as you don't bust no old school Michael Vick from 04 Madden, you're good, man.
Exactly.
But you know, you guys put a beating on them. Exactly, right? You guys put on a beating on the Texans so bad that they pulled out Savage, like you were saying, and put in Watson. Now, from what I'm hearing, at least as of today, and we're talking about this on Wednesday, they're going to have Watson start for Thursday Night Football. Do you think that's a good decision if you're the Texans coach or GM? Because you're putting in a rookie with a short turnaround time in week two.
Yeah, you know, part of me said, why not? That's what they drafted him to do and to come in and do that. But another part is, you know, it may be too early. You know, some people go along the lines of, you know, the experience is the only way he'll be able to get that. But it might be too early. Again, on a short week, to come out and start. I think they were a little high on the fact that when they brought him in a game against the Jags, you know, that first drive he drove down and, you know, they got a touchdown. But I do prematurely think it's a little early. Now, he may prove us wrong. You know, he may prove us wrong.
Right.
But it is early, and I think I would give Savage the keys, you know, to that position still for right now so that he could learn a little bit more. Deshaun, and moving forward, maybe mid-season, you know, or even, you know, the latter part, the late season, that, you know, he could take that role. But I do think it's prematurely, just a little early, but we'll see, man. You know, big-time players, you know, they perform in big-time moments. So this might be a moment where Deshaun comes out and, you know, proves everybody wrong. Like, hey, you know, this is what y'all brought me here for. Let me play. So we'll see. We'll definitely
exactly. I mean, they didn't draft him to hold the clipboard forever. It's a little bit early, but come on, he showed up in those bowl games. You know what I mean? He's a big time player, right, at least on the college level. I mean,
exactly.
You know, why not? Like you said, you know, why not? Exactly. But I also want to talk about another game. Move on to the next game here. Big game. Green Bay defeats Seattle, a score of 17-9. Seattle didn't look good on offense at all. In my opinion, and I'll just share this with you quickly, but I think that offensive line is all bad. And I think the running backs are questionable. So I think it's just going to be always about, we know that defense is always going to be there, top five, top 10, but it's all about how far is Russell Wilson going to take you, pretty much doing the thing on his own on offense. So I want to know, what did you take away from that Seattle loss?
Yeah, well, not too much. I mean, they were playing in Lambeau. Of course, you know, defensively, Seattle is Seattle with Sherman and Thomas and Chancellor. So, you know, they were going to show up for the most part anyway. Not a really high-scoring game, 19-7. You know, A-Rod threw for 42 for 311, and he had a 32-yard touchdown. Seattle's offensive line did look bad, and again, with Eddie Lacy, and I don't even believe Thomas Rawls played. I think he's still suffering a little ankle injury. You know, Eddie Lacy hasn't been good since Alabama, to be honest. He's always been a little bit overweight. But I think moving forward, Seattle will be okay. Seattle's division isn't that tough. They got San Fran next week. They'll most definitely win that game. Their receivers are going to have to show up a little bit more moving forward, you know, as the season progresses, and we'll see how that goes. But, you know, Seattle in Green Bay, you know, week one, I didn't expect them to win. Wasn't a bad game, but, you know, I think moving forward, I think they're going to be okay. I think they will. They should be, but, you know, they definitely got some questions to answer on that offensive line. And again, like you said, how far is Wilson going to be able to take them? unless one of those running backs, whether that be Lacy or Rawls, when he get healthy, you know, steps up and becomes something that we didn't think or something else that we hadn't seen yet. So I think they'll be fine moving forward. They didn't even score a I don't even know if they scored a touchdown.
I think three field goals. They had three field goals.
So they definitely got some answers to win. They'll get a lot of practice next week against San Fran, though. You better believe that.
You know, I'm surprised a team like Seattle. I'm surprised Adrian Peterson didn't want to end up in Seattle because, come on, who you got to beat out? Eddie Lacy. You know, they didn't draft a rookie, and he ended up in, you know, New Orleans, and you saw what went down on Monday night between him and Peyton. So, I mean, I'm really surprised that Seattle didn't do more to address the running back position. I think they are going to pay for it. Not now, because like you said, they got San Fran. You know, the Niners at this point, they're not a challenge. I don't think anybody in the West, in the NFC, can challenge Seattle. But I think once you get into the playoffs, it's all about that run game. You know, it's all about the run game. They got the defense. So that's always going to make sure that they have a chance in the game. I just think that as they run into a tough team that's hot, without that run game, you're not going to be able to stop them. So I have my questions, but you know what? They got a while to figure those things out because they ain't going to get into the playoffs for another 4 months. But I just think that's something to look back on. Like, remember this conversation. I said if they don't address that running back position, I don't see them going to the NFC Championship game. Right.
Don't buy them.
Exactly. As far as Green Bay goes, I thought the offense started slow, but, you know, it's week one. They don't get as much camp as they used to, so it's understandable. But I'm wondering, is the defense really that improved? Or basically what I want to ask you is, was that game more about bad Seattle offense, or was that more good Green Bay defense?
That's a good one. I'm going to go with bad Seattle offense. They didn't score a touchdown, so... You know, the test will definitely be this week coming up for sure, which I think is the game of the week in the rematch of the NFC Championship last year. But I think it was bad Seattle. You know, they weren't clicking. Their running game's not there. You know, Wilson, you know, he was 14 for 27 for 158 yards. Not really too impressive. You know, 14 completions. That's not, you know, you're going to need a little bit more. So, especially when you're not getting it out from your running. So, I'm gonna go bad Seattle offense, and again, like you said, hopefully they'll get it together moving forward. But we'll see the real testament this week when Green Bay goes to ATL to face Atlanta, Matt Ryan and Julio and them guys.
For sure, definitely. We're gonna get into that a little bit later when we start talking about Week 2. But let's finish up Week 1. Let's talk about my boys, Dallas Cowboys. They pulled a 19-3 win over the New York Giants. And my big question to you is the question that everybody's asking right now, and that's, is Odell Beckham really that valuable to this New York Giants offense? Because they didn't look good at all without him.
At all. You got to say yeah. The performance the Giants put on the other night, you got to say yeah. Even if he's out there for a decoy. You know, everybody knows that, you know, Odell's athletic ability and him being able to turn a slant into a 60, 70-yard touchdown and what he can do and his great catches, one-handed catches, whatever the case may be. When he's on the field, you gotta know where he is at all times. So even if he was out there, whether he was a decoy or he was out there getting, you know, getting catches and yak and touchdowns, whatever the case, it's got to be about Odell. You know, the other guys, the most experienced receiver on that team, and Brandon Marshall, I thought would have a pretty – solid game. You know, in my opinion, Brandon Marshall isn't a bad receiver. He's pretty good. Like, he can get you some catches, but he only had one catch for 10 yards on 14.
And that was at the end of the game. That was pretty much garbage time.
Right. And I don't know if Eli just wasn't able to get him the ball. I don't know if he wasn't able to get any separation. I don't know what it is. I mean, but he didn't. I mean, the receiver core, Sterling Shepard, he looked pretty solid. You know, he had 7 catches for 44 yards on 8 targets. So but he also coughed up the ball. You know, he had a fumble too.
Yeah.
But he looked pretty solid. So, you know, I'm not sure what their O-line was doing. They looked pretty bad. Eli looked fragile and just, you know, he reminded me of his brother going back there. As soon as the pocket collapsed, he just just fall down. I'm like, God, just try at least, you know. Yeah. He would just fall. And yeah, man, it looked bad. But
yeah,
you know, Eli wasn't too impressive. Their defense looked good though. Their defense is good. Their defense looked good. You know, they were out on the field a lot against the Cowboys. And, you know, your boys, you know, the Cowboys got a really good offensive line. And they ran Zeke. You know, Zeke had a 104, 104 yards on 24 carries. So their defense looked good. But their offense, most definitely, man, it's got to be, you know, I think by having Odell on the field, man, just allows you to do so much more. And whether he's a disguise, whether he gets the ball, whatever the case, you know. And again, you know, he didn't prove that on this last show on the last time he was on the field in the playoffs last year with all those drop balls. Yeah. But, you know, we'll see moving forward if he, you know, plays this week to see how that works out for the Giants.
Yeah, definitely. I there's no doubt about it. Beckham right now, he's very valuable to that offense. He basically takes a safety with him wherever he goes along with the corner. So it just opens up, you know, what you can do to a defense underneath. And I think you saw that in the Cowboys game. You know me, I watched that game twice. So I saw that, you know, our free safety was all over the field. You know, he was taking on, cutting the out routes. He was cutting them off. So I think that was all a product of Beckham being off the field. And on the offensive side, what I noticed, you mentioned the offensive line, and those tackles are terrible. And what's sad is that, what's sad is Eric Flowers is a first-round pick from a couple of years back, and he looks like an undrafted free agent. I mean, he looked like a turnstile. And the other tackle, Bobby Hart, looks just slow. I don't know where they got that kid. I think he's from Florida, but he looks just slow. And I'm telling you, I'm a Cowboys fan, and I'll toot the horn of the Cowboys offense, you know, 7 days a week and twice on Sunday. But I'm telling you, I'm not big on that defense. But those tackles made the Cowboys D-line look like the 85 Bears. Like you said, Eli was going down before the pressure even got there. He was scared. He was hearing footsteps.
Yep.
And I've never seen, I'm telling you as a Cowboys fan, I have never, ever seen the Cowboys put that much pressure on a defense since the 90s. So I think it's pretty bad with the New York Giants line. And the fact that they're one-dimensional without a decent running back on the roster, I worry about them. I kind of see them in the same light as Seattle because they got that defense that's top-notch. If you notice, I'm not saying a bad word about anything on the defense, but that offense gives me cause to pause, and I wonder if it's not out of the question that Philadelphia can slip into this NFC East race because their lack of a running game.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to that. But Cowboys, before we move on, I just want to say I think that the young DBs really stepped up. Anthony Brown's a second-year corner. He got that INT, and he was reading Eli all the way on that one. So I liked what I seen as a Cowboys fan. The one thing we don't see is defensive turnovers. And so just to see that is like, it's like seeing gold, man. It's like seeing a beautiful woman to me. And it's like, man, that's what I want to see, man. I want to see more of this, you know, because we don't see enough, I'm telling you. So I like what the Cowboys did on defense, but we'll see what they do against Denver. They're not a high-powered offense. But as long as they can hold Simeon and them in check, I'll be okay. So that's recapping week one, man. Anything else you wanted to get to with week one? Or yeah.
Real quick, what do you think? How you think Dez did, man? How you think Dez Bryant's game was this past Sunday, man?
You know, Dez was blanketed, and I mean, he had two men on him a lot of the time. That he did get his one on ones, and I'll tell you, he didn't always get the best of that matchup. And Janoris Jenkins, he's no joke at the cornerback. I really like the way he plays. He plays tough, plays physical. I think Dez did have him beat on that second down in the red zone, if you notice, but Dak overthrew him. So that one wasn't on Dez, but you know what? There was quite a few where Dez just didn't get separation. So in my opinion, I think Dez needs to work on his route running because he's not getting open enough. And you look at other top-tier receivers like Julio Jones or AB, who had a monster game. These guys get double coverage, and they still get their yards. They still get their catches. Yeah. And I think for some reason, Dez doesn't always get that. So I'm not putting it all on Dez, but I'll put it like this. Dez is on watch. He's on watch for me. I need to see him do a little more.
He's on watch for me, too, and I look forward to seeing his performance moving forward in the up-and-coming weeks because, you know, I had a conversation with a couple guys who Dez Bryant's the top five receiver, and I say otherwise, but we'll say that conversation for another day.
I'll just tell you, I got it. I'm on your side, and I'm a Cowboys fan. I think he's 10, but he's definitely not a 5. But like you said, that's something for another day. Let's get into week 2, man. Let's look forward, eyes forward here. We got a big, big game. I can't wait to talk about it. New England at New Orleans, and New England is favored by 4.5 points. What I got to ask you is, what does New England have to do in this game to avoid the 0-2 start? Because they go down 0-2, the sky's going to fall in the media.
Yeah. You know, both teams lost, you know, week 1. You know, New England lost the season opener, for Christ's sakes, in Kansas City. I mean, they got blown out. Nobody saw that coming. But they're going down to New Orleans and they're playing. And what did we see Alex Smith do? He threw all over that defense. And what does the New Orleans Saints and Drew Brees and Sean Payton like to do? They like to throw the ball. Again, Drew Brees threw the ball 37 times. Doesn't mean he's going to connect 37 times, but I mean, they're throwing the ball. So, you know, if New England doesn't fix whatever they need to fix defensively in that back end, and I really think that Malcolm Butler, I think he's a really good corner, the Super Bowl hero a couple years ago. I think he's a really good corner. And the other guy that they brought in, I believe from Buffalo, I can't think of his name. And he's a big corner.
Gilmore, right? I think that's Gilmore.
Gilmore.
Yeah.
He didn't look all that. You know, he looked okay in week 1. But if New Orleans are able to find what Kansas City was successful on them with and doing again, this is a 2-half game, you know. New England looked good in the first half, but the second half they looked horrible. But we'll see, man. I'll tell you what, if New England, as you said, goes down 0-2, man, it's going to be trouble for the Patriots. It is going to be trouble. And, you know, that division will be now wide open. We'll be looking to see if Jay Cutler and the Miami Dolphins could possibly win, or the Bills with all of their mishaps. They even came and pulled out a win, I believe, week 1. So we'll see. And the eyes that everybody's going to be looking at that game. Everybody's going to be looking at that game.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. I think, too, like you said, you talked a lot about the defense, and they got the defensive backs, but they look questionable at the end of the game, for sure, because you made Alex Smith look like the all-pro, you know, he looked like Peyton Manning, 300 and what, something odd yards, 4 touchdowns. I mean, it was nuts. I don't even know the stats. I'm just telling you what it looked like to me. It looked like he was just throwing bomb after bomb. And, I mean, you know, that looks sketchy. So I want to see how they come back on defense. You know, Devin McCourty, those guys. But I think on the other side of the ball, you know, New England got to get – and I said this last week, if you checked out the Week 1 podcast, they need to get Gronk involved early, you know, and Eric Berry made sure that didn't happen. And that's where KC has the advantage because who's the safety for New Orleans? I think it's Vaccaro, and he's no Eric Berry. So I think this week, without a doubt, you got to set the tone. You got to get the ball to Gronk. That way, you start seeing those double teams come his way. They start rolling the coverage his way. I think that's going to open it up for some of these other less experienced receivers because now that Edelman's out, you don't have that experienced receiver with Tom Brady. So I think you got to open it up just a little bit for some of these receivers as far as offense goes.
Even Amendola, you know, he went down. You know, talk about the game of football, man. It is a grown man sport. You know, Amendola went down. You know, New England always keeps, you know, 3 to 4 running backs. But, you know, are those little dump passes that Brady does so good, is that going to win the game? You know, you got to get it in the box, you know, points. That gets you to win. So we'll see. And I'm definitely looking forward to that game.
Yeah, me too, man. And I'm also looking at New Orleans. And I'm thinking, okay, when I saw that offense, we talked a little bit about AP going over there, not getting the touches that he wanted. Now, I really think that Sean, sorry, I'm losing the head coach's name. What's his name? Payton. Sean Payton. I think he really's got to reinvent that offense, because this is his show. It's always been Payton and Drew Brees' show, but he doesn't have the weapons to continue to justify throwing the ball 35, 40 times. Jimmy Graham's gone. Marcus Colston's gone. Cooks is gone. He's on the other side of the ball now. So I think you really got to start getting one of these running backs involved in the game and giving them some carries. You got to slow that game down, because I don't think this offense is just going to survive with purely Drew Brees, who's getting a little older, and throwing that ball 35, 40 times. I mean, do you think that – how do you think the run game would help New Orleans offense to take on New England this weekend? Because I think that's key.
Well, you make a really good point. With the receiving core that Brees did most recently have is not there anymore. So you don't really have any standout receivers to, you know, dominantly throw the ball to or get you all of those catches. You know, I don't know if they're going to reinvent the offense, because that's just what they do. You know, Sean Payton's an offensive guru.
Yeah.
And whatnot, but you do got two solid running backs, two proven running backs, and AP and Mark Ingram. And if you can, you could run the ball and maybe get a lead or something, you can minimize how many throws that Drew Brees does. And they got one little weapon in Ted Ginn. I like Ginn. Now, Ginn is one thing that he's been known for is his speed. So Ginn at times, well, in Carolina he did, because they use him great there. But Ginn could get past, the defense. He can get over top. He could, create space just because he's so fast. So if they're able to run the ball, play action, Ginn, one of those other receivers touchdown, then, you get up, 14, 10, or 21, however many points you need to get to be successful. Then you could run that 2-3-headed monster that you got back there, and Ingram, Payton, and the rookie Kamara, which also looked pretty good. He looked pretty good as well.
Good.
So, yeah, we'll see how they plan on doing that. But that may be something that we'll see moving forward. Maybe they, again, week one is still early. People switch up things through the year, whatever works, what doesn't work. So we'll see how they do against the Pats defense.
All right, man. It's money time. Time for you to call it. What score are you going to give me? I need a prediction.
New England, New Orleans?
Yep.
Let's see. Who's going to win this game? Just because I'm going to go with New England. I think they'll go down there. It's going to be a good one, man. I'm going to go 28-21 New England. I'll go there.
All right. Close game. I got it. I got New England over New Orleans 26-12. I know you're thinking 12, but I just think that New England is really going to make adjustments on that defense. I really think they're going to try to win this game defensively. I think they saw the struggles of that New Orleans offense, and I really think they're going to take advantage of the pressure that they were able to get on Brees. I think they're going to try to implement that similar game plan, and I really see them limiting the points that New Orleans puts up. So I know it sounds crazy, but I really think the defense is going to step up and win the game. I mean, New England, they'll win the game unconventionally. They'll beat you in a lot of different ways. And I think they're going to try to show that this defense can still put a team away. But the other game I want to talk about, my boy, Dallas at Denver. Dallas is actually favored by 1.5 points, and they're going to Mile High. So I need an unbiased opinion, and I'm going to let you shoot with this one. Do you think Dallas should be favored on the road with a team as good as Denver?
Yeah, I think they're going to win, man. I don't think it's going to be as close as people think. Think about it. Dak threw the ball, 39 times last week. Boy, that's a lot, And when you got that monster back in the backfield. Now, it will, second year, It's his second year, and teams, you know, have seen him play. They're watching film, so they know some of his tendencies. But I'm going with Dallas, man. I'm believing in Dallas's O-line. I'm believing in Dak's calm, cool, collective demeanor and how he plays the game and how he's not really too rattled. And I'm not going with Denver's offense, and which I don't believe in. I just don't think Denver's offense is nowhere near as good as Dallas's, even with the run game. I mean, we had, you know, a couple years ago, Emmanuel and forgot my buddy name. They was top five, top 10 receivers when Peyton was down.
Demaryius Thomas, right?
Demaryius Thomas. Yeah, Demaryius Thomas.
Yep.
Demaryius Thomas was a monster a couple years ago,
yep,
man. But he don't have anybody to give him the ball. So,
right,
you know, regardless of that, even with Emmanuel Sanders, Sanders was good. You know, they was a 1-2, you know, you monster. I couldn't wait to get either one of them in my fantasy team. Now you got to bypass them because they don't have anybody to throw them. The Rock,
yep,
you know. So, until proven, I'm going with the Cowboys and the offensive line. Dak and this, you know, how he carries, you know, and leads that team and offense. I think that Denver's defense is good. You know, we all know that. We all know Denver's defense is good. But I think in a 2-half game, I think, you know, the Cowboys will wear you down a little bit, and they'll make a couple plays to win.
Funny you say that. You said wear down, because I think that's exactly what the Cowboys have to do to win this game. I think Von Miller's Von Miller. That defense, like you said, is always going to be in your face. They put pressure on QBs. That's what they do. I think there's going to be a lot of pressure early, but it's up to the Cowboys to do what they do, establish the running game. I think you got to wear on them. Even if you're not getting the big gains in the first half, you see, I think Zeke, you know, he looked a little bit out of shape. I got to admit that. That's a little bit of a reason for concern, but, you know, I think he wears down defense is late in the game, and I think that's a key, because you need Von Miller sucking air. You got Tyron Smith, who in my opinion is the best tackle in the league, so I think you're gonna be at a standstill there. But Von's gonna get his plays. I think Tyron's gonna be able to shut him down for a few plays, but in the end, you want Von Miller not doing what he does best. Von Miller, what he does best is he goes forward. He likes to rush the passer. Now,
right,
if you're going forward on him, you're taking him out of his game. So I think that's key. Wear him down in the run game. Lean on him all day long with a bigger, stronger player like Tyron Smith. And if they move him over to the other side, start switching sides, you know, we got Lael Collins. He's another big tackle, big, strong tackle. Lean on him, because you're not going to win the battle if we're falling back all game long. So in my opinion, that's key. Wear down that D-line. Wear down the, you know, the outside linebackers, those rushing linebackers. And another thing I want to talk about is this Talib versus Dez match. Who do you see getting the better of that matchup, Akeem Talib or Dez Bryant?
I like Talib, man. I like Talib. I'm a former defensive back myself, so I like the position, you know, or love the position, but I just don't think Dez has it anymore, man. I mean, Dez has to prove. I mean, Dez, and maybe, you know, the media and everybody else hyped him up, you know, a couple years ago. He was good. You know, Dez would go get that rock, but Talib's a big corner. Dez's a big receiver. So he doesn't really need, in my opinion, a lot of separation, as if he would need some, you know, against somebody like Janoris Jenkins or like Malcolm Butler, who was a little bit smaller, but I think quicker, you know, than Talib. But Talib is good, man. He is good.
Yeah.
And I think the matchup is going to be good. I think his size is going to be a little bit more favorable even than Janoris, but just because he's a little bit taller. And Dez is just going to have to prove me. I mean, Dez had 2 catches last week, I believe. Two catches. So, you know, Dez,
44
Dez,
yards.
Right. I mean, 44 yards, that's solid, but, you know, you're not going to be able to do that all game. And if he does, you know, he shut me up. You know what I mean? But I'm going with Talib on this. I'm like Talib spicy. Dez is spicy as well. You know, so this going to be a good matchup, man. I like it, but I'm going to go with Talib.
Nice. Yeah, I'm going to say I think Dez is going to do better against Tlaib than Jenkins. I don't know what the reason is, but it, honestly, I'm just, even as a Cowboys fan, I got to admit it. I think Jenkins kind of owns Dez. Now, Tlaib is, in my opinion, a better DB than Jenkins. I think so. I like Tlaib because he's physical. I like Tlaib, too, because he don't back down. He has the attitude. He has the right attitude. You see the way he talks to receivers, the way his body language is on the field. He's not afraid on any play. You know, he's going to take it to the receiver. So I like that. And I think Dez can get frustrated and thrown off his game if you get into his head. So I do like Tlaib in this matchup, too. But I do think Dez is going to make a couple of big plays in this game. I do expect that because the offense in whole, I think, is top-notch for Dallas. So I'm going to wrap this one up. I got Dallas 27-17. You want to throw me a score here?
That sounds about right, man. I don't see Denver scoring a lot. That 17 for sure. I don't know how many Dallas will score. They might score early in the field goal, and they may get two touchdowns in the later end. So let's go 24. I'll go 24-14 to 24-17. Yep. So, yeah, let's go 24-14. That's what I'm going with.
All right. Even lower. All right. Not bad. Yeah. Let's jump into the game of the week. This is the game I'm hyped for. Sunday Night Football, the big game. Green Bay at Atlanta. We have an NFC Championship rematch. Atlanta is favored by 2.5. So I got to ask you, what do you see going down in this game? Are we going to see the same result as last year's championship game?
I definitely don't see the points. Last year, was it 44-21? You know, last year, Atlanta was off the charts. I mean, you couldn't stop them. Julio had 180 yards last year, like on like 7 or 8 catches or something like that. So, you know, in that championship game. But I definitely don't see the score being that high. It's going to be a good one. Atlanta squeaked out a win this week in week one. Green Bay obviously beat Seattle. I think Green Bay is looking for a little bit of revenge. It's early in the year. None of the teams are clicking, you know, week two as if they would be, you know, week 16. You know what I'm saying? So, then plus you got injuries and things like that happen. Not as if injuries don't happen in week one or two, but, you know, you have more of them later on in the year. And then, you know, the season wears on your body. But it's going to be a good one, man. It's going to be a good one. I think Atlanta's going to be playing in their new dome, the new Mercedes-Benz dome. Yeah, it's huge. It's right beside the
They're going to be hyped.
Yeah.
You got to give them that.
Right. But, you know, with Green Bay coming into town, you know, A-Rod, Aaron Rodgers got that receiving core, man, and he can light you up, you know. And I'm going to look at it like this. If Atlanta gets a lead, who's to say they're going to win? Right? They were up in the Super Bowl.
I like that.
They could be up 21-3 or 25-3. And they can let Aaron Rodgers come back and beat them. So I'm gonna go with the Packers, man. I think A-Rod won a little revenge, you know, with Davante Adams and Jordy Nelson, even the tight end, the Bennett brother. He's in Green Bay now. So I'm gonna go with the Packers, man. I like Aaron Rodgers. I like Alex Smith and the Atlanta Falcons. I mean Matt Ryan. That's Alex Smith. Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons.
Yep.
But I think Green Bay coming for them. I think they're a little salty about that NFC Championship game. They got blown out. They couldn't stop them last year, but this year they will.
Yeah, I think, you know what? I don't disagree with you at all. I don't have much to add to that because I think Green Bay's coming for Atlanta. I think Atlanta's going to be hyped. I do think Atlanta's going to get the jump on Green Bay because, like I said, they're opening that stadium. They're going to be hyped. They're going to get into it, the crowd. Atlanta's got the weapons. They got Matt Ryan. They got Julio Jones. They got it all. They got the run game. I think they're going to score, but it's like you said, can they keep the lead? And so far, we haven't seen the ability to keep the lead. And you know, you don't count out Aaron Rodgers. You know, he comeback after comeback after comeback. How many times have we seen him throw that Hail Mary to win the game? How many times?
Right.
You know, over and over. So I can definitely see something like that happening. I'm gonna just throw it out there. I'm seeing Green Bay taking this game by a score of 28-24. I see it close, but I see Green Bay coming back, pretty much just snatching the heart from Atlanta for revenge.
Yep, I got Green Bay scoring 28 also. Atlanta, 21-24, right around the same thing. So I'm definitely going with Green Bay. I'll go 28-24 also, man. I think they'll score a little bit more. Again, they're a little bit hungry. They know what happened to them last year. And with them getting blown out and them making those mistakes in the NFC Championship game, I don't think they allowed this to happen this time. Not week two. Not again.
Yeah, no, me neither. I don't see it happening. Yeah, so, I mean, that's what we got going on as far as our predictions for week two here. But before we sign off with this one, I want to talk a little bit about some players to watch. So I'll throw one out there first, and you let me know if you got somebody you got an eye on for week two. For me, I want to see what Alex Smith does in week two, because Alex Smith, you know, he straight out shocked me. I have the stats right here now. 368 yards, 80% completion percentage, 80%, 4 touchdowns, 148.6 QBR. And you know what? I want to see what he does against those Philly DBs, that Philly defense. You got Fletcher Cox on the defensive line. I believe Roby got hurt, and I don't think he's playing. I think he's out. I want to see, is Alex Smith going to come back and maybe not throw for 360 yards and 4 TDs, but I want to see, is he completing the deep pass? Is he hooking up with the outside receivers? Is he going to go back to the game manager? Is he going to hit the tight end on the out route? Is he going to hit the back, you know, on the swing pattern? I want to see Alex Smith be aggressive. So that's one player I'm going to have my eye on in week two. You got anybody that you're looking at?
Yeah, so I want to see what, one, I got a team. I got two teams, obviously. But one, I want to see what Eli does and how he bounces back Monday night with versus Detroit. I want to see how he looks in that game, and if Odell will play, and if they'll win. Detroit actually came back on Arizona to win, so I'm looking forward to seeing how Eli performs against the Detroit Lions. And on a side note, I'm looking forward to seeing the Dolphins and Tampa Bay. Both of them have their first game of the year, and I want to know and see how both of them, Tampa Bay plays Chicago at 1, and Miami, they got San Diego. So curious to see how both of those teams play this week with, you know, Irma tearing up the whole, pretty much going through Florida,
yeah,
and the Keys, seeing how Jameis will do, and seeing what Cutler looks like against Phillip Rivers and the Chargers. In a loss, you know, they lost last week too. So both of those Florida teams are actually playing teams that lost week one, and I want to know and see how they do, and see if there's a competitive advantage week two compared to a team that's already lost and already kind of gelled together. So I'm looking forward to those games also, man.
Yeah, no, that's good looking out on that, because we haven't seen Miami, we haven't seen Tampa Bay in action, so. I got my eyes on those two teams, especially because Miami's coming to the backyard, you know. They're going to be in L.A. at the StubHub Center, a couple of miles away. So I want to see how this new L.A. team is doing over here. They didn't look too good Monday night. But the other player, I'm going to throw it to you. I know you're going to have some fun with this one. I want to see what these two players from the Jacksonville Jaguars defense do. Calais Campbell had 4 sacks. I want to see if he's continuing to put the pressure. Again, he's probably not going to get 4 sacks. I mean, let's keep it real. But I want to see him get a sack. I want to see him get pressures. I want to see if he can keep that effort up. And who I really want to know what your thoughts are, how do you see Miles Jack? Miles Jack had 14 tackles. Miles Jack is one of my favorite players in the league. I have high hopes for him because I'm a UCLA fan, a big UCLA fan. Miles Jack can do it all. He can play any linebacker spot. He used to play running back. That's how athletic he is. That's how gifted he is. And I think he's going to start really taking the playing time from, I believe you guys got, what, Pelevny still there?
Yep.
Right? At the linebacker. I think he's going to start taking more snaps, and I expect him to do big things. So I got my eye on Miles Jack. I really want to know what you think about Miles Jack.
Yeah, he balled out, man. 14 tackles. I think he'll have double-digit tackles this week coming up too. Tennessee likes to run the ball a little bit with Henry and the other running back. I can't think of his name.
Murray.
Blows my mind. DeMarco. Yeah. Both of them. You know, Tennessee likes to run the ball, so we'll see how Miles does. He did look good, man. 14 tackles, 8 solo. And that D-line, I'm looking forward to seeing how our D-line reacts. Our D-line looked real good. We had a total of 10 sacks, so we look real good. Hopefully we can keep that up against a division rival. I think the defense and the team in itself will be pretty geeked and pumped up for week two. We got a little revenge on our eyes and Mariota breaking an 87-yarder on us last year. So I think they're gonna be pretty geeked up, and I'm definitely looking at them too, man. You know, Polisky didn't nowhere near have a game as good as Miles Jack did, so he may slowly take a form from him moving forward.
That's what I'm looking for, because I think you guys drafted a star in Miles Jack, but I'm done gushing on him. Two more players I'm watching. I'll end them with these two quarterbacks. I want to see what Phillip Rivers does, because honestly, I'm going to give you a stat line, and I'm going to ask you, was this a good game? Phillip Rivers had 192 yards, 67% completion percentage, 3 TDs to only 1 INT, and a 99.6 QBR. Now, he's playing Miami, we talked about, but I'm not even sure. After hearing that stat line, it sounds good, but do you think he had a good game?
They lost the game. He didn't have a good game. He had a pretty solid game, man. They like to throw the ball. You know, 192 yards isn't like Phillip. You know, 22 for 33. You know, that 192 needs to be like 250. You know, 260, especially if you got 3 TDs. But he played okay. You know, QBR wasn't too good. You know, 60.8. So, you know, they play Miami. You know, Phillip's always been one of those guys, man, that, you know, he has all the tools, but he just like can never get over the hump. Like they could never they always lose the close games, you know. Anytime you're throwing TDs, you know, it's always good because, you know, you're always kind of doing something good at least. But, you know, you got to do enough. You got to do more. And, you know, they didn't do enough to win collectively as a team. But good game. He had an okay game. I'd like to see Phillip Rivers' numbers a little bit more than 192, though. And maybe this is the new Phillip Rivers we'll see moving forward. You never know.
That's true.
To see how that looks moving forward. I don't think so, because Phillip likes to toss that pill around. But we'll see this week when they play Miami. Down on the West Coast.
The other West Coast quarterback I'm looking at is Jared Goff. He threw for 306, 72% completion percentage, a TD, and a 117.9 QBR. He's going up against the Washington secondary. So I want to see if he can continue to build on the success that he established in week one. I really like this one because, you know, I look at it, you got rid of Jeff Fisher. To me, Jeff Fisher was a garbage coach. I really didn't understand how he still had a job after all these years. What's turning it around for Jared Goff, in my opinion, is the head coaching change. You got McVay in there, an offensive coach, a coach that wants to work with this quarterback. I watched some of that Rams game. There was a lot of offense where they're running the spread. And if I remember, because I'm a Pac-12 guy when it comes to college, I remember Goff over in the Pac-12. And he ran the spread, so he's comfortable in the McVay offense. I think McVay has done his best to make Goff comfortable. And so far, like you said, it's week one. We don't know. But I want to see him continue with that success that he had in college with the spread offense. And so far, so good. It's worked out for him. So I want to see what he can do against Washington.
Yeah, you know, he, you know, they played the Colts, man, and the Colts, again, their quarterback was like 9 for 18, you know, and again, that's on the offensive side. And Goff, you know, they did score 46 points. So they did get some points on the board. That defense did run at least two back for touchdowns.
They did,
but we will see how he does. I didn't think he looked too good last year, but this year is a new year. They got Sammy over there, and if Sammy can stay healthy, Sammy can give a little separation from DBs at times. If he can stay healthy, that we all know what Gurley can do if you could give him the rock. And the Rams' defense is pretty solid. And they did that without Aaron McDonald. McDonald didn't even play, which I think is probably a top, you know, arguably the best D-line, you know, in the league. And McDonald and how good he is. One of them anyway. So we'll see, man. It's going to be interesting to see how they, you know, how they play, you know, week two. Especially Goff. You know, the whole team. And how they you know, how they play. They got some weapons. You know, they got some weapons. You know, little Tavon is still over there. You know, you got the running back. You got a Sammy Watkins who's really good. The defense is solid. So we will see. We will see. And it might be a different conversation, you know, after week two, especially with all of these teams getting one, you know, two games underneath their belt to see, you know, what it's going to be moving forward to teams and how they play.
Yeah, for sure, man. I'm definitely looking at those players and seeing how they bounce back in week two. Anything else you wanted to hit on before we wrap this up?
Not too much, man. I think we got it, man. The Carolina, they bring it at home this week. They got a home game. I want to see how Cam plays. He didn't look too impressive last week against the 49ers. Again, kind of like the Colts, the 49ers wasn't too hot. So I'm curious to see how Cam is going to do and how he's going to play against the Bills in a game. And I think they should win, but looking forward to that game. But other than that, man, I'm just glad football's back. The Jacksonville Jaguars, we won week one. I'll be even more excited if we win week two. We'll be 2-0 in the division, at the top of the division, and one more win, you know, one more win closer than what we had the previous year. So it's looking good for us, man. It's looking good so far.
Yeah, I like those Jags. I really do, man. Yeah, so, I mean, pretty much I think we're through. I think we pretty much hit on everything that needed to be hit on for week two. So first and last thing, I gotta thank you for coming on with me. Definitely appreciate you taking the time to talk some football, week two football with me. Before you get on out of here, tell the people how they can get you. You got a Twitter handle. You got anything that they need to check out? Plug it in.
Yeah, man. It's your boy T. Scott, man, off Anchor. You should just be able to go to Anchor if you guys don't have Anchor. Or if you do have Anchor, just T. Scott, Flying High with Champ, type that in. You'll be able to access me in some previous episodes that I have done. You could also catch me on Twitter. I'm not on it too much, but at times I do spit out some stuff on my mind. You can catch
me. You gotta drop some knowledge, man. You gotta drop some knowledge.
Yeah, I know.
Twitter's a place.
And tweet me. If you tweet me, I'll definitely tweet you back. But I drop my Anchor segments on that, and at times I drop some knowledge or some stuff in general. So. Sports related, but Champ 1609 on Twitter, Flying High with Champ, T. Scott on Anchor, man. Check me out. Look forward to all my stuff coming out soon.
All right, T. Scott, thanks for coming on. So we're gonna sign off for T. Scott, Philip Enriquez. Say What You Like Sports Podcast Week 2. Come back next week. We're gonna talk some more football.
I'm out. Say what you like.